everyone, and a very warm welcome to our session today on Social Media Trends Untapped. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe we're all in December already, nearly at the end of this very interesting year. I'm really looking forward to today's discussion. My name is Sophie Devonshire, and I am the CEO of the Marketing Society. And I'm so proud to be part of this global network of progressive marketing leaders and to help empower brave leadership in marketing. What we see is that as a community, when we come together like this, when we connect, when we have conversations, it helps us be braver and more brilliant at what we do. And as part of this network, we can help each other do well in our careers and our lives and do good in business, economy, and the world. We can share stories and perspectives and experiences from our roles in marketing to help and support each other and unlock ideas. And sometimes, as part of this, we bring in experts to share their insights, to stimulate our thinking, and to build our marketing muscle fast. Today, we've teamed up with our friends at Hootsuite to dive into some of the most interesting questions, I think, that a lot of us have been thinking about around social marketing. So, for example, today, we are going to be looking at things like, how do you drive short-term ROI from anything social in order to stay afloat during this global challenging economic times? We're also going to be talking about what kind of content will attract more customers right now. Are we missing the profitable opportunity of baby boomers? The people we're talking to today also have a point of view on whether purpose is just another buzzword or whether it's worth us looking at when it comes to social. Today in this session, what you will discover is some of the insights and the inspiration from the fifth annual Social Trends Report from Hootsuite. They surveyed 11,189 leading marketers and executives to find out most effective ways to boost traffic, get leads, and bring new customers into the door for us all in 2021. So today, we're going to get some insights and some ideas from that report. And we're also going to get some practical tips, I hope, for us to take away and action straight away. In a moment, I'm going to introduce you to our speakers today, who will then share a presentation with you to just give you some of those tips and techniques and ideas. We are then going to have a session where we'll open this up to questions. I'll definitely have a few, and I know all of you listening will have some thoughts and ideas, and there'll be time for us to have a proper discussion at the end all together. So before we get started, as a reminder for all of you who have used Zoom before, there is that glorious chat function. And I can already see a lot of you coming to say hello. It's really nice to see that you're coming to chat on that chat function already. We love it at the Marketing Society when people are as interactive as possible. So please be keyboard warriors today. Come and say hello on chat. Make sure you do the little click down which says all panelists and attendees so everyone else can see everybody. See, Ben knows how to see it. Hi, Michelle, great to see you. I have a question for you all. Before we get started, a question to put on chat, if you wouldn't mind. I'm interested in what your favourite social media platform is right now and why. Do you love Twitter? Are you the kind of person that can't shut up even when you're alone and you love being on Twitter? How are you feeling about Instagram? Come and tell me. TikTok, there we go. Alexandra's a TikTok aficionado. Lots of votes there for TikTok. Why? What is it about those? Really interested to see what it is you like about them, and people have strong points of view. So please come and say hello. So old-fashioned, David. But good to see what's useful for people. And also to see that you're there, please keep using that chat function. Come and heckle, ask questions. There is the Q&A part of the webinar as well. So you'll see next to the chat, the Q&A function. If you've got questions for our speakers as we go or any comments, use the Q&A or chat function as we go. Really like to have as much interactivity as possible. So, welcome everybody. It's great to have you all here, and it is great to introduce our two speakers today. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Mark. Mark Brahmi is the Senior Value Realization Consultant from Hootsuite in a previous life. Mark was the director of the global social marketing side of things at Sage, a massive company like that, where he was in charge of leading their influence, paid social and employer advocacy program. So practical on the ground experience working there. He's also the former head of social at hotels.com, working on both performance marketing and brand awareness campaigns there. Mark is also an experienced brand manager at Chivas Brothers. So he's an expert on Scotch whiskey as well. And having spent Monday night with our Scottish hub celebrating St. Andrew's and doing whiskey tasting, I'd just like to say slangeva to you all. Welcome, Mark. Mark has also delivered a huge range of award-winning programs, including live streaming video, revenue-generating paid social campaigns, social customer care, influence engagement, and employee advocacy. He's now a senior consultant at Hootsuite and helps customers to evolve their strategies and drive more value from social media for their businesses. He's also joined today by the brilliant Dominique Elsie. Dominique is an experienced social media marketing strategist, and she's had a huge wealth of experience within the marketing and technology industry. And she also has a background in hospitality, a passion for sustainability, health and well-being. At Hootsuite, Dominique works to establish the marketing strategy within the United Kingdom and in Ireland, and she has a focus particularly on enterprise campaigns. Really delighted to welcome you both. Hi, Mark. Hi, Dominique. Over to you. What have you got for us today?
Hi. So great to be with you. That was a great introduction. Thank you.
And Dominique's got a little owl behind her. You may notice her Hootsuite owl. I've just seen that.
A little owly, a little friend. And Mark does have him on the lapel as well.
We're fully on brand today.
Never knowingly underbranded. Marvellous.
Fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to start sharing my screen with you now. This is always the fun bit to see if it all goes wrong. So bear with me 1 second and you should be able to see these shortly. So I'm just going to do that thing where I confirm that you can see my screen okay. Got a thumbs up. Fantastic. Excellent. So let me pop that one full screen for you so you don't have to look at my ugly browser. Fantastic. Okay, so let's kick things off. This is my personally kind of favorite piece of content that we do each year at Hootsuite. It is, of course, our social trends. So we do these every year for the last 5 years. And today we'll be looking ahead to 2021. So the plan for your time with us today is like this. We're going to try and cover quite a lot, so stick with us, but I promise you it will be worth it. To begin with, I'm going to go through some of the recent data that we have on social networks, what's kind of most effective, what tactics are really working, and then we're going to dive deeper into our trends for 2021. We have chosen just three of the top trends here so that we can cover a little bit more of the detail for you. So I hope these will be quite relevant, but obviously we can answer a lot more in the Q&A at the end also. Now, Sophie's already done a fantastic job of introducing us, so I'm not going to cover this again. But what I will point out is our Twitter handles there. Feel free to ping us with any questions at any time. Me and Mark are always more than happy to answer where we can. So I think we have a poll to begin with here because we want to get your insights on a particular topic too. So you should be seeing that one now. Whilst you answer that one, I'm just going to go through a little bit of the methodology for the report that we're discussing today. So how we actually came up with these trends and why we think they even really matter to you. So we run, as mentioned, a global survey every year, and we ask thousands of marketers all from all different organizations and industries as well, what is working for them on social media, what challenges are they facing, and what they have their eyes on for the future. And as Sophie mentioned, this was our biggest survey yet with over 11,000 respondents. Now that's 4 times more than our usual survey. So we are incredibly proud of the data that we have our hands on for 2021. We also analyze our digital data. So we partner with We Are Social annually as well on a digital report, which is really comprehensive and looks in depth at digital across the world. So this also goes into the networks in Asia, for example, which we actually don't get to see day to day in Europe. And then, because this isn't enough, we supplement all of this data with some qualitative insights from a huge range of experts. And this year, we did a lot more interviews with our customers, analysts, and experts from the social media platforms, including Pinterest and Twitter, too. So I don't know if we can see your responses to the poll that was just there. I don't know whether the question popped up for you. Fantastic. Excellent. Okay. So what social platform do you consider the most effective? Interestingly, okay, we're seeing LinkedIn in the top spot there. 38% of you have said LinkedIn. And in a close second spot is Instagram, with Facebook actually not too far behind. So let's have a look at what our survey said to see if you are aligned with what we're discussing. So overall, not too dissimilar. The top three are definitely the same there with Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. But perhaps maybe in our survey data, we had a few more kind of retailers perhaps skewing the data there. But a couple of things that I do want you to take away from this chart before we progress. Number one, some of you mentioned it in the chat function earlier, but for all of the hype and my personal affinity for it too, TikTok just is not ranking very highly when it comes to reaching business outcomes. Secondly, we do get different pictures based on the industries that we look at. So if we slice all this data by different industries, we do generally see commonalities. So Facebook does remain at the number one spot for most industries, and that includes finance, includes healthcare, government, and higher education as well. But there are some interesting differences. So for example, government, while Facebook is still number one, Twitter actually ranks far higher than Instagram for effectiveness. And as we can expect in retail, Instagram actually ranks above Facebook too. And then when we look at B2B, it's LinkedIn and not Facebook that's seen as the most effective. And that's actually also true in technology, where LinkedIn ranks above Facebook. So the reason that I bring this up and we really want to dig into this is because it's important to use this data as directional and make sure it's what works for your specific industry too. Now, interestingly, this year we also saw Pinterest get really high marks for driving those bottom of funnel tactics too. So for marketers who can't always invest in paid advertising, Twitter and Pinterest were seen as the most effective channels. So we've got a second poll for you here, just to get your fingers working and eyes on the prize. So the second question we have for you is, if you were to increase your social investment in just one channel next year, what would you choose? And whilst you answer that one, I'm going to go into the survey data as well. So we asked all our businesses across industry what platform they would choose, and Instagram was the clear winner, with more than 60% of organizations interested in doing more on the platform and really upping their spend on Instagram. And to be honest, this doesn't come as a huge surprise. You all mentioned it as well in the beginning. Instagram is a great platform that still has an awful lot to offer. There are still incredibly strong organic opportunities if you don't want to put any paid behind it. And we are seeing some really broad demographics using the platform. We've seen baby boomers increasing as well and jumping on the lives and the shopping functions. So the new social commerce features, which are forever increasing on the platform, are really invaluable for brands really trying to deal with the pandemic and just try and get people through that kind of virtual door of spending. So I'd love to see your answers on this and see if we said similar things. Instagram. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. And to be honest, I think that's unlikely to change as we see Instagram is kind of hot on the heels of all other social platforms enveloping a lot of the functionality into their own platform. Excellent. Okay, so I think that's it for polls. Don't worry, you can sit back and start taking notes. So When we drill into all of the industries, we do see that, as mentioned, Instagram is the top investment. But I just wanted to make sure that we're highlighting the differences here, because it's really important to note that LinkedIn and YouTube did appear as top choices, particularly among technology brands and B2B. So again, just really important to note what works best for your specific industry and for your business goals too. So we're going to go into the trends now. We're not going to hide them from you any longer. So here we are. We have five trends as we progress into 2021. So the first, which Mark's going to dive into in one moment, is we're looking at the race to ROI and the role that social is playing on reinventing the customer experience as we really just all continue to live our best pandemic lives online. Next, we're seeing that brands are finally finding their place on social by just sitting back and listening instead of just bulldozing their way into the conversation. Our third trend is about baby boomers and the new digital habits among this generation that the pandemic has really accelerated. So brands are really needing to build their strategy with this in mind. Fourth is a look at what's kind of been a long elusive goal for marketers is trying to tie social engagement to customer identity to really prove kind of who you're talking to and when. And now is, to be honest, really the time to start taking the steps towards closing that gap, because there is so much attention on social media, particularly in the boardroom now, from kind of CEO executive down. And lastly, our final trend is the perils and promise of purpose. As we know, I don't think I need to say it out loud for you, but it's been quite a rocky year for brand purpose, to say the least. And one thing that's been really crystal clear is that brands really need to start in the boardroom with their purpose and not on the front lines of social media. So as mentioned, for the sake of time, we're just going to focus on three of those trends for today's webinar. You will be sent the full report, so you can really deep dive into all of those as well. The report has full analysis, loads of brand examples and kind of strategies that you can take into next year and beyond. And I will also be continuing to release more content into next year, such as like dedicated webinars and content on each of the trends too. So we're not hiding anything from you at all, and we're just waiting until next year to get that in front of you. So over to Mark now. I would love for you to take us through the first trend.
Thank you very much, Dom, and thank you everybody for joining us today. We're going to go into the first trend. In the interest of time, let's crack on. So the first trend is all about ROI. We've been hearing this for a very long time when it comes to social media. How do you prove the ROI, the return on investment for your social media activities? And today, more than ever, it's become even more critical. It goes without saying, and it's going to state the obvious here, it's been a tricky year for many businesses. So many organizations feeling the real brunt of the pandemic and losing or a drop in revenue for a variety of reasons. And so we know that actually social media has a key role to play in terms of not only revenue generation, but demonstrating return on investment to organizations as they try and deliver their critical goal for 2021 in the spirit of survival for many. It's all about bringing in new customers and driving revenue. So when we surveyed as part of our trends piece, we asked people sort of, what are the key things that you are concerned about as social marketers or as people utilizing social media? And we saw here that actually for the first time in history of our survey, marketers were saying that their number one goal was customer acquisition on social. Traditionally, in our previous annual surveys, it has been all about brand awareness. Social media driving brand awareness. But this year it's different. It's all about increasing the acquisition of new customers. It's interesting actually that we see some falling down. So this is just the top three that we're showing you here. But 23% of marketers were saying they're looking to improve the customer experience. And that's slightly worrying because we know that actually the way that the world has changed, customer experience has become quite a critical thing. Do you remember when we had things like going into shops and being able to sample products? Do you remember going to conferences I would guess this type of content, I would normally be standing up on the stage in front of you all and sharing this rather than virtually through the camera. But you know, everything's changed and now it's a very different experience. And so brands really need to be looking at the ways in which they can differentiate themselves through experience, looking at how are they really capturing their customers and prospective customers through the awareness stage into consideration and ultimately into purchase and revenue generation in new and inventive ways in order to fill in this void that's being created by the new ways of working and living. So we know transactions take place today. You know, you see an ad, you click on it, you go through to a website, but they're very transactional. It's very devoid of fun and emotion and experience. You know, it's almost task oriented. Fill out this form, click this ad, download this report, check out your cart. So, you know, that's fine. Transactions need to take place in order to generate revenue. But what we're talking about is these transactions should be supplementary to those in-person experiences. It's not about replacing those in-person experiences with these purely transactional pieces. So it might be that some organizations have seen that, oh, we need to improve our e-commerce or online shopping experience so that we're able to get more people to our website and drive them, you know, almost like conveyor belt style. But actually, that's not the experience that customers are wanting. They're wanting that full piece that's not just about that final moment of take my money, but the whole piece around why should I care about this brand? What do I know about this brand? Why do I want to buy into this brand? So it's not purely about transactions alone. It's also about those memorable experiences. So in 2021, we see that those real clever marketers, all of you included, will be looking at what are those short-term ROI or revenue-generating tactics, but also remembering it's about that bigger experience, that bigger customer experience that drives a strong return on investment. You know, how are you fostering discovery, connection, and bringing the fun back? All about making sure that you are bringing experience, customer experience, back to that very transactional piece. And I'd like to share with you an example from one of our customers. So Clarins is, many of you, you'll be very familiar with Clarins, the French luxury skincare and cosmetics brand. They obviously saw a massive impact when they had to close their stores, as many other businesses did, and the way in which customers were no longer being able to discover their products. So I'm not somebody personally who uses the Clarins brands, but I have it on very good authority that you could go into the store and get samples. You would have an expert on hand, one of the Clarins skincare experts, who would you know, take care of you and help you to understand which are the best foundations and the rest of the makeup which were suitable for you and for your skin tone and your lifestyle and so on. But of course, that didn't happen anymore. And there was a huge gap between what the customer experience was and what Clarins were hoping to deliver, because a lot of that in-store experience was then driving to actual sales. But they didn't just sit back and say, oh, woe is us, you know, things have changed. They immediately looked at ways in which they could bring the customer experience online. And so they got one of their beauty coaches, and this is Rebecca here, and she was taking what she would do in-store, but doing it on Instagram. So she created Instagram stories, and Clarins were sharing this, and she was sharing it from her personal account as well. And you know, giving people that similar experience or that similar advice that they would have been getting from her in store. And this worked incredibly well. Clarins then saw that completion rates of their stories, which had previously been 20%, so, and just think about, you know, how short Instagram stories are. They were only seeing sort of a 20% completion rate previously. But when they started doing this activity, they were seeing 75% completion rate of these stories, which is incredible. It's the best performance they had ever seen. And what they saw was there was a correlation then between this content and the visits to their website. So they saw over 30,000 website visits coming directly from social media. Okay. No small number. But they also saw over 450 bookings for a new service that they were launching called Clarins and Me, which is almost a home consultation virtual visit. So in the first month, of launching that, thanks to these initiatives that and these experiences that they were delivering on social, they saw over 450 registrations for the Clarins and Me piece. So a very practical example of how Clarins looked at what was missing in the customer experience. It wasn't about them improving their transactional website. It was about what did they need to do in the rest of the customer experience that would help and would continue to drive people to that transactional space. So for all of you, you might not all be beauty and fashion brands, but here are some quick tips on what you should be doing in 2021. And the first is add in more channels. It's amazing how many marketers still produce siloed campaigns. I hope none of you do this, but it still happens. So we know that anytime you add an additional channel into your campaign mix, you increase your ROI and effectiveness by up to 35%. So start thinking of ways you can start to bring these channels together. And it could be as simple as bringing user-generated content from social into your email marketing campaigns, for example, or taking your search data and complementing it with your social data in order to provide some compelling messaging and campaigns as well. Take inspiration from the Clarins example and turn that inspiration piece for your customers into incremental revenue. So look at ways in which you can take that experience that has been lost and reinvigorate that through social. And don't forget to inject the fun back into it and bring the social back into shopping. So make it about asking questions, make it an engagement play rather than a broadcast play. Really bring in that social aspect to the shopping experience. And then finally, make sure that social is the leading light in terms of customer loyalty. And we know that brands who have engaged communities of customers on social have a much stronger ROI performance as well. And Forrester, in one of their latest reports, are predicting that the spend on loyalty and retention marketing is going to increase by about 30% in 2021. So a big focus for CMOs as well in terms of customer experience in order to bolster retention and loyalty as well. So some very practical ways for you to start to think about in 2021, how are you going to increase and improve the ROI through experience that you generate through social media? Cool. So I think, Sophie, you have some
questions. I do. Really interesting. Thank you so much, Mark. I'm just sitting there listening to it and particularly interesting to see some of the examples in there and your passion for it all. I'm just curious, Dominique started to touch on some of the things that brands can really start to do when they're focusing on their strategy to make the biggest difference to their ROI. I'm sure, Mark, you've been having some conversations with some of your strategic customers at the moment, and it'd be interesting to know what your conversations are around and where you're seeing the benefits show at the moment.
Absolutely. So it's a very hot topic and everybody's looking and have been for a number of years. I think just the current situation has accelerated this need for ROI from social. And I think there's many layers to this. The first piece is almost that the simple one, the direct revenue. There are ways that you can generate direct revenue from social media. And this typically tends to be paid social ads. You're able to put the right message in front of the right people at the right time to get them to purchase your product or to come on and find out more and so on. So there is that piece about direct revenue, which is great. That makes ROI so much simpler when you've got direct revenue. But we know that social media is not as simple as that. And we know that the role that social plays in the customer journey, in the customer experience, is more top and middle funnel rather than bottom of funnel. For most industries as well. So we also need to look at what are the other ways in which you can build social media into your organizational goals and then start to deliver and demonstrate the return on investment that is happening there. So it's things like generating engagement and driving and using your content to drive brand awareness and consideration, knowing that by doing that upper funnel activity, you're feeding the rest of the funnel more towards the eventual conversions or purchases. But also think about how are you increasing customer satisfaction and reducing the customer churn because you're providing a robust social care strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, who wants to pick up the phone nowadays if you have an issue with the company? You're going to go to Twitter or Messenger or one of those quicker channels as well. So as a business, are you making sure that you're there and you're not potentially losing customers because you're expecting them to revert some of the more traditional means of communication, which they might not want to? But also think about, you know, the use of social media management tools like Hootsuite, for example, which means that your team running social media are able to be more effective, and you're therefore getting a return on investment in terms of time savings and hours saved. Social listening, are you using it to mitigate risks and potential reputation damage? Are you using it to learn more about your customers, your industry, your competitors, so that you're able to produce and deliver better experiences, better products, better services, therefore delivering more ROI ultimately? I mean, this list goes on. We could talk about social selling, employee advocacy, social influencers, user-generated content. You know, all of these are great examples in the ways in which you can use social media to deliver your business goals. And you'll know all of your business goals way better than I will. But you know, these tactics should align to those business goals, because as soon as they do, and as soon as you are tapping into all of the potential ways of improving your customers' experience on social, you will be driving return on investment. It will be, in some cases, direct revenue, but in other cases, it will be increased customer satisfaction, reducing customer churn, and so on, all those examples I gave previously.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, really, just seeing across the last couple of years, the shift in the role, socials, you know, being taken so much more seriously earlier on in terms of organisation goals, you know, the marketing strategy right from the start, that people are making sure it's not an add-on, that they're looking at how it really connects with those business goals. I do love the expression social listening. You know, as a concept and a thought, and interesting to see the that 66% respondents, you said, say social listening has increased in value for their organisation over the past 12 months. Dominique, talk to us. What is social listening? And beyond just looking for brand mentions or places to join conversations, what could you use social listening for as marketers this in 2021?
Yeah, so social listening isn't as scary as it sounds to begin with. I think people sometimes get a little bit confused with social marketing and social monitoring, sorry, I've just stopped sharing my screen because I couldn't see you and I wanted to see your face while you're asking questions. But essentially, social listening is the process of monitoring social media for mentions of your brand, of your competitors, product, and more. So when you track your social media platforms for mentions and conversions kind of related to your brand, then you can analyze them for insights and discover opportunities to act. It's kind of a two-step process. So step one is monitoring social media channels for mentions of your brand, competitors, products, even keywords that are in somehow related to your brand or brands on social media that you want or strive to be like. And then step two is analyzing all of that information for ways to put what you learn kind of into action. So that can be something as small as just responding to a happy customer online, but it can also be as big as just completely changing your brand purpose and due to the way you are already seen from the outside that perhaps you didn't know from the inside before.
So a way of being more responsive and being able to understand a little bit more. Okay. Dominique, I have two teenage daughters. So my life is made up of a lot of awareness of TikTok, and you know, really interesting to see the meteoric rise of TikTok and how it's come up in the survey and the conversation today. Been really interesting as well to see how brands have started experimenting with that type of content. For you personally, I mean, how have your views changed on TikTok, particularly now we see Reels and Instagram?
Yeah, so I love TikTok. Like, I really do. I think I lost many an hour in lockdown just kind of scrolling through the continuous streams of the ridiculous dances that I will never be able to replicate, or insanely cute dogs kind of brightening perhaps the darker days as well. Our team has spent quite a lot of time looking at the ads that brands are placing and kind of how they're received. And to be honest, it's still just not great to put it kindly, a lot of the comments underneath ads and TikTok towards the brand can be really negative. I think very few brands have really found a good way to create content for TikTok that's actually reflective of what makes the platform so special and so great. Essentially, it should never really feel like an ad. It should just feel like a continuous scroll. It's almost like we should forget all of that altogether and just create that polished content. And that might be the way to go, because then people know it's an ad and they know what they're seeing. But mostly it's just trying to figure out what works for brands on there. TikTok does have a really great resource on their website. It's full of case studies and creative kind of inspiration. But then I would recommend taking a look at these case studies and actually logging into TikTok to see how they're actually being received, because there is quite a big disconnect there, to be honest. It is an exciting space to watch. But as you mentioned, Instagram Reels as well, we've actually heard quite a lot from our customers to see that the content that they created for TikTok is actually performing way better when they put it onto Reels. So that's something to consider, I think, as Reels does continue to get kind of more bandwidth and more focus, because now that it's kind of on the main home screen as well, it's replaced where the like and like your wall of activity used to be. So people are going to be seeing it more and more.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, isn't it? Seeing some fascinating comments and questions coming through. And Lisa, you're quite right. A lot of activity on social is about reducing the risk of purchasing as well. So, you know, trying to deal with it. So the opportunities for brands to respond to helping customers through lockdown and things like that has been fantastic. Michelle, you're right. Human and social all starts with listening. Make sure that happens. So we've got some questions coming through from the audience as well. And another point from Nick there. Absolutely. Have few brands been able to crack it? I mean, a huge opportunity to cut through on TikTok. And part of the appeal of the audience, it's difficult for the older generation to access it. Yes, definitely for my kids. Every time I'm actually on it, they're horrified that I'm anywhere near it. And they much, much prefer it when it's not, you know, they tell me very strictly that and Snapchat I should not be playing with. So, I mean, a question there from Nick in the Q&A as well. As a result, I mean, do either of you have any perspectives on why you think TikTok then doesn't have a larger proportion of marketing investment at the moment?
I mean, from my I was just going to say, from my point of view, I think it's still where the millennials are, right? It's like, well, even younger than millennials, it's like Gen Z. They don't want to see brands. They don't want brands kind of interrupting their day. They just want to see fun things. So it's not going to interact well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's a very valid point. It's that whole piece of the reason TikTok is so popular is because the brands aren't there. It's as simple as that. But, you know, if I was to offer some advice as to how you as a brand can get involved, they obviously be sympathetic and empathetic to the audience. You are coming into their space. But also think of it almost like YouTube abridged. So whatever you would do in order to create your content for YouTube, think about that and then just say, how do we take what we would put on YouTube and condense it down to 30 seconds? And that's a good starting point as a brand to get involved. Don't try and approach it from the sense of, how can we create a trend? How can we go viral? Make us go viral. That's the you know, the phrase of choice, the one that really does my head in. But don't think of it like that. Approach it from the perspective of, if you were to make a very short YouTube video, what would you do? Put that on TikTok, experiment, okay. See if it works.
Brilliant. And lots more comments and questions coming in, but I'm conscious, Mark, we've got a couple more trends that you want to share with us. Tell us some more. What else have you seen?
Yes, so I think Dominique is going to talk us through the next trend, which is all about that listening piece. So yeah, we've got some slides to complement that.
Beautiful. So can you see that one now? We're on to trend two. Can you see that one okay?
Yep.
Beautiful, excellent. So this is my kind of favourite trend, because it kind of goes against all we say as social marketers, really. But so silence is golden is trend number two. So there were huge, huge spikes in social media use this year. And a lot of brands saw that and thought, wow, this engagement is fantastic. We really need to jump in on this and do more. And that's how we ended up with kind of a million posts about kind of now, more than ever in these unprecedented times, we're a brand and we're here for you. And at first, that was incredible to really hear the voice of the brand and see the people behind the logo. But very quickly, I think we were all kind of rolling our eyes and we were just ready for something new, which marketers very quickly started rattling behind the scenes and began working on some new content. Then the summer hit and we saw this incredible surge of activism, protests and real solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. And again, brands halted their content and tried to navigate what was actually a really difficult conversation for many. Then to top it all off, particularly for global brands, a totally uneventful US election, which seems to still be dragging on. Essentially, it was just a very tough year for social marketers trying to create any content and just participate in the conversation that was being had on social. So where do we even start when we begin trying to plan for the next year? What kind of content or tone or messaging is actually going to work? Well, to begin with, we need to start with a little bit of a reality check, which is what social is for. Primarily, people want to connect with each other, not brands. That was its purpose. I'm sorry to say it out loud to loads of different brands, but it's true. It was true before 2020, and it will continue to be even more so as we progress into next year and beyond. The pandemic has really uprooted people's lives, their jobs, their mental health, and they don't want or need brands just interrupting them on social media with tone-deaf content. And you simply can't afford to miscalculate the type of content or even the type of relationship that you position your brand with having with your audience. So it's important to look at what's causing the brands to really miss the mark when it comes to jumping into conversations on social. Firstly, content just may not be simply interesting. It may not be entertaining or valuable. And people go onto social media to learn. They go on to find news, to be entertained, or to connect with people. So if your content isn't in line with those motivations, then it will just be another annoying interruption and it won't continue to give sentiment. Secondly, you may still be chasing kind of vanity metrics, such as retweets, comments, shares, the things that we used to track right at the beginning. And data tells us that the majority of people online actually consume their content passively. So according to our digital data, when we look at digital 2020, the average Facebook user shared just one piece of content in the last month. And Twitter's monthly traffic, so how many people visit Twitter on per month, is actually three times bigger than the amount of users that log in. So that means that there is a huge difference between the number of kind of non-users that are just passively consuming content on Twitter every month. And that's because you can view most tweets are accessible without you having to log in. They don't need a username, they don't need your password, you can just see Twitter. So if you are still designing your entire social content strategy around that engagement, then you're actually going against what people's natural online behavior is, especially if you are just trying to generate engagement for the sake of engagement by posting things like, hey, how's your Friday? Or retweet if you love baking sourdough on your weekend. And asking people to just go out of their way to engage with you and your brand on social, you just better be providing them some value in return to thank them for their time. But there were a lot of really good standout moments from brands this year, and they all had this one thing in common. They all sat back and they listened, and then they won by finding those creative ways of fitting into the conversation instead of trying to lead it or start a brand new conversation. And there's a key word there that I've just said, creative. Social media is not the place for you to run bland, forgettable, and boring content. It never has been. And I think over the last few years, we've probably forgotten that ever so slightly, which is why TikTok is so interesting because it's so creative. Now, this is one of my favourite things that went viral this year. And it proves that it's really okay to have fun on social media. It's how a lot of brands actually find their success. And data from Global Web Index consistently shows that finding funny and entertaining content is the top reason that people use social media. And even during incredibly difficult times, people do just want to smile, they want to laugh, and they just want to feel good. And we shouldn't shy away from that. So you may have seen this example. This wonderful old lady in America put a notice in her window whilst in quarantine saying, "I need more beer." Now, Coors Light were listening, and they answered the pleas and got her a ton more beer. They arrived at her house with crates of Coors Light. And this really inspired them to create an entire campaign. So not only did it cover social, but they created TV advertisements as well, helping people through what they coined the sucky, suck, suck, suckiness that is today and 2020. And it encouraged people to nominate someone who could just use a beer. They asked them to do so with a hashtag on Twitter. So there was value on with people engaging in them. You're going to get beer. It's going to be fine. So you don't have to desperately try and be funny, and don't go against your brand tone or personality either. But just remember that creativity and fun and lightheartedness will help your content break through this big kind of wall of indifference that people have towards brands and people on social media. So with all of that in mind, don't dismiss any passive content consumption when it comes to social media. Know when to aim for engagement and participation and when to aim for that reach and reaction. Any type of engagement you generate on social media, if successful, will eventually lead to future behavior. So whether that's reaching out for more information, going to a store, searching online, or just simply strengthening that brand relationship that they have with you. Next, we already mentioned social listening, but it's really about bolstering that data with other sources of insights too. Now, it's not easy to monitor conversations across Instagram stories, LinkedIn, TikTok, or private messaging within Twitter and Facebook as well. And it can kind of skew the insights that you're pulling. People who are publicly very vocal on Twitter, for example, may have very different mindsets when it comes to communicating in a more private channel with you. Also, search analysis is a really powerful tool in addition to social listening. It can go beyond what people are publicly willing to talk about and reflects a lot more of what people are privately thinking. And then finally, lean on UGC, so user-generated content, if you're looking to replace some costly content production too. We completely understand that producing polished content is really difficult right now, thanks to the kind of logistical and financial nightmare that is pandemic life. But with a huge uptick in social media use this year, there's really no shortage of content out there being created by people themselves. Now, UGC can be incredibly cheap and it has the added bonus of being content from people that are already trusted. So according to Edelman and the Trust Barometer, which I'm sure you are all already aware of, earned media is far more effective than advertising when it comes to earning that trust, as consumers are a lot more likely to listen to their peers than brand themselves. So, Mark, I think we're going to go straight on to the final trend we're going to discuss today, because we're a little bit short on time, and then we'll go to your Q&A.
Yes, and I think just in the interest of time, and because we're sending you all the full report anyway, I won't go too detailed into this. I'll talk about what it is very quickly and then the practical steps that you can take. So this trend is all about, do I know you? And it's this idea around, great, you have an engaged audience on social media, but how are you able to tie that back to, in some form of identity, to real customers? And this is where it starts to get tricky. And obviously, this is one of those trends where we see it's traditionally, as you become more socially mature, it's the one that starts to matter more and is more complex to try and solve. So we don't have all of the answers, but we do have some sort of suggestions as to what you could do in 2021 in order to start tying together some of this engagement activity on social with real customer data. So Dom, if you're able just to skip a few slides ahead and go on to the what should you do in 2021. It's as Dom was saying, it's more than just looking at social as an engagement, a reactive engagement channel. Start thinking about your core business objectives and what are those additional actions or those additional things that you want to achieve through social and how you're going to do that. So take that as a starting point and then start doing those small steps in order to be able to better quantify those social, the data from your social engagements. So start putting in, if you're not already, and it's surprising how many people don't, but make sure you've got the right tracking, UTM tracking parameters on your social content, whether it's paid or organic or shared. Because once you start gathering that back and you can see, okay, these people clicked on this piece of, on this content, what did they then do? You can then start to get a lot more information and you can get a lot more insights into that group of people as a collective. So 30 people clicked on this piece of content and came to our website. What are those behaviors that they demonstrated? What is that common thing that we can start to learn and create an identity for that group of people for whom that piece of content resonated? And then the third piece that we talk about is, you know, there are some manual things that you can do where you can start to tie together identity and social activity. So we often see this in our financial services customers where they have salespeople who use social media to engage with potential customers. They go into their customer relationship platform, their CRM, and they make a manual note in the CRM, this person engaged with a piece of content I shared on social, or this person, I responded to this person's question that they asked on LinkedIn, for example. So there's some manual stuff to do. And of course, there are more and more integrations from a technology perspective starting to happen. So, you know, look at ways in which you can integrate your social media management system to your CRM or to your marketing automation tool. We saw one of our customers, Pierre Vacances Center Parks Group, they did this. They merged their CRM and their social media team so that they were sharing data. And what they were able to do is to better tie and better to deliver identity linked to their engaged communities. So those people who were pre-stay, during-stay, post-stay engaging on social media, they were able to then tie that back to real customers and then make activities and insights and take action in order to deliver great customer experience. So this is probably a longer term thing that's going to develop as the technologies become more robust and as we better understand complexities around GDPR and so on. But huge opportunities already today, some simple steps you can take to start tying that engagement on social media to real customer data in order to better improve the customer experience.
Amazing, cool. So I just want to ensure that you know you're getting the full report. We've really just done kind of a quick whistle-stop tour of kind of to 2.5 of the trends, let's say. So you'll get the full report in your emails after. But I'm going to stop sharing my screen because I think we have some other questions I've seen coming through.
Definitely. Thank you so much, guys. And it's great to know that the full report's coming out there as well. But quite a lot in a very short period of time. My brain's slightly buzzing as I'm thinking through the small steps you've talked about and the big intentions. We've got time for just going to pull Alex, if I may, out of the audience to come and join us because she has a question for you both. Alex, are you there? Come say hello. I don't even know. It's Alex Nixon. I don't even know if it's a she or a he, but are you there, Alex? Okay, I will ask.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Is it possible to show your video, Alex?
Yeah, we could try.
Bonus. Hello.
Hello.
A question for Dominique and Mark today.
I did, yeah. I think actually Mark answered part of it in the Q&A section, but I was asking around the social media investment you talked about, that being very much for Instagram and the spread of that being for Instagram, and I asked about content, whether it was content creation or whether it was on ad spend. And I think Mark said it was looking at all of that and encompassing all of that, do you see a difference in split? Is it more about reaching people or is it about engaging people with that content? And then my other question was, what are your thoughts on LinkedIn and their introduction of stories? Considering a lot of us answered that Instagram, we felt was really, LinkedIn was very important. How do you feel that transfer comes across?
So let me answer the LinkedIn stories one. Thank you very much for that question. I think it's really interesting. And what works in LinkedIn's favor or LinkedIn users' favor is the speed at which LinkedIn develop new features. So what they've developed as this new LinkedIn feature is actually something we're all very, very familiar with through Instagram anyway. So the great thing is we already have, as marketers, we already have a lot of understanding and knowledge as to what works when we use stories on Instagram, for example. Bear in mind, though, that it's probably a different audience on LinkedIn. So it's more about just crafting the content. The tactics will remain the same. Those tactics that you utilize that got you success with Instagram stories, apply those tactics. But the message and the content needs to be shaped differently because your audience will be different and they'll have different expectations within the LinkedIn space. So I think that, to answer your question, I think it's very interesting what LinkedIn have done and it's really good that they have. It's not as complex a situation for marketers. Take what you know already from Instagram stories, from Facebook stories, and maybe you're doing fleets as well on Twitter. Same principle, just craft your content for the bespoke audience on LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah, I think my answer would be exactly the same as Mark's there. I think when it comes to fleets, it's interesting at the minute because they've rolled it out quite slowly and they're modifying it quite a lot. But the interesting thing about fleets, I know we're discussing Twitter and you asked about LinkedIn, but I'll say it while we're here, is, as I mentioned, a lot of Twitter content you can view when you're not logged in. Fleets, you have to be logged in, so you'll actually be able to see who's viewing that content, which is interesting. And from a Twitter point of view, they're actually segregating part of their platform for logged in users for the first time, which is good.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Alex, so much for coming and saying that. I like your gaming chair that you have there. That looks really comfortable. Thank you for joining us today as well. What's amazing is there's some great questions coming through, and I know we are going to run out of time. I hope that I can ask Dominic and Mark, perhaps we can share some of the answers to those questions in our follow-up as well as sharing the report, because I think some really interesting ones there and some lovely feedback coming through from people. Before we start to wrap up today, just one small, in the style of a tweet, piece of advice or a final thing that you want to say to the audience today? What would you both give us as your one final piece of advice? Dominique, do you want to go first?
I think if I was going to take just one thing from this year and looking at the trends as well, it would be just don't run to social and feel like you have to throw content out there because everyone else is. Definitely take kind of trend two and focus on silence for a little bit to listen to your audience, listen to what they actually want from you, and then prove that you've listened, you've done the work, and then you can come to social.
To think and listen.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the BLM movement this year really, really highlighted the need for that. A lot of brands, unfortunately, were too quick at the mark and came out there with a statement to say we stand in solidarity, but it didn't mean anything and people will just see through that. So yeah, listen to what people actually need, learn from others and learn from this year in particular. I think a lot has happened this year that we can learn from.
Great point. And Mark, one super fast tip or takeaway for everyone?
Sure. Take a moment to reflect on how you're using social media as an organization. Look at it. Is it driving true business value? Is it linked to business objectives? If it's not, stop wasting time and resource doing those types of things. Where are your gaps? What are those things that can drive meaningful business value?
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. really enjoyed that, found it really interesting. And what amazes me is how in, you know, a power hour together, we can get through so many things. And it's such a great way to accelerate our marketing muscle and our understanding of social with the report and with your insights. So thank you so much, Dominique. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us here today. I really hope everyone in the audience has found that useful. There will be a poll about just pop up. So just take 1 second, please, and tell us what you thought of today. That would be fantastic feedback for you all. Thank you very much. There will be the report being shared afterwards and also a few of the questions. So thank you, everybody. And one last thing before I go today, apart from saying a big thank you to everybody who's listening. I know we're coming into 2021. Everybody will be planning their social after today and making sure that they're really putting into practice and implementing some of those great tips from today. The one other thing I'd like to draw everybody's attention to is some great news we have at the Marketing Society about something we will be offering exclusively next year to everybody. Building on the conversation today about accelerating your marketing skills, we have an amazing opportunity to really accelerate your leadership, your impact, and your influence fast next year. In March 2021, the Marketing Society, in partnership with the fantastic marketing guru and consultant Thomas Barter and the experienced CMO Sil Seller, will be offering the Marketing Leadership Masterclass, where in just 12 weeks, in fully flexible, really, really great schedule that is fully flexible, you can accelerate your impact, because we know that the most effective marketers are experts of influence. They know how to lead their teams, lead their bosses and peers, and lead themselves. And sometimes that takes years to develop. We have a program for you to be able to develop it in just 12 weeks for under £1,000 per person. It's also a great one to do in teams, and there's a discount if there's more than 10 people who do it. So please, there'll be a link coming up in chat now. Look out for that. Think about it as another great way to keep upskilling and making sure that you can do more in 2021. Lastly, please get in touch with me on LinkedIn or Twitter or at any of the social medias. You won't find me on TikTok quite so easily, but in all other ways, I'm relentlessly social and I really love hearing from you. So if you found today useful, if you've got any more ideas about the Marketing Society, please do get in touch. Keep safe, everybody. Keep connected. Thank you so much for joining. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.